My name is Danny Kakasey, and this is Danny C. Talking Sports, and this is my season finale. My guest here today is sports director for WFUV and sports director for BronxNet TV, Bobby Chiafredini, a.k.a. Bobby C. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me on.
Absolutely. Absolutely, man. So I was just curious, for my first question, what is your favorite sport or sports to cover?
Oh, wow. That's a great question. I would say if I was going to choose a sport that I've loved the most over the years, it would probably be baseball, because I had played so much as a young guy. And then I coached actually at the high school level. And I was even a certified umpire at one point. At one point, I was thinking about trying to become a major league umpire. So baseball was probably my first love. But I would say over the years, and having media credentials to cover many different events, my love is really, kind of transformed into multiple sports. I would say I've made most of my career in basketball. And I really have actually a deep love for motor racing.
All right. I was also curious, how did you get the nickname The Voice?
The Voice. It's funny that usually kind of comes with most people that start in the profession as a young person, if they're working for a certain school or a certain program. So my first venture into broadcasting was actually as a college student, and I was the voice of the Purchase Panthers, which is a Division III program, very much like the school where BronxNet is housed, which is Lehman College. It's one of the teams that Purchase plays. And one of the coaches at the time just gave me the nickname. Our teams were not particularly that good at the time, and had gotten a lot of credit for doing a good job of calling play-by-play and even doing some PA work for the teams. And, he would just kind of tease in the hallway, be like, hey, the voice is here, and people just started to pick it up. And, at the time, too, being an undergrad, my first major at the college level was actually drama. I was studying to be an actor. And a lot of people said that I had a good voice, so they were casting me in a lot of shows on campus where I could do like voiceover work. I even got cast in a play on campus where they had me be the voice of God. So, for a show. So it was kind of cool, and it was a comedy, believe it or not. So, but it was kind of cool to get props for having a good voice. And it just stuck, it might have been something at first that was kind of said in jest, but it stuck as something kind of as a cool thing. And it kind of goes very well with Bobby C. So,
yeah, when I was watching clips, it kind of reminded me of, like, Mike Breen, because like he has that voice, for sportscasting. He covers Knicks games. So, it kind of reminded me of that.
No, that's pretty cool. I mean, that's high praise. I mean, Mike Breen is the best in the NBA. He's the voice of the NBA these days. And he actually went to my same high school. So Mike Breen was one of my mentors. And now working at Fordham as the sports director, he is a good friend of mine because he's a Fordham graduate. So him and I both went to Salesian High School. He became a mentor for me, in my early 20s. And now he's become kind of a mentor for a lot of the students that I'm mentoring.
Yeah, because because what I want to do one day is like be a sports broadcaster, and how I got inspired is like from Mike Breen himself, because I'm a huge Knicks fan. I watch Knicks games, and over the years, I'm like, wow, I just love the way he talks about the game, and that's just something I feel like I could do. So yeah, that's how I got into that.
Breen is terrific. He's, like I said, he's the standard for great broadcasters.
Right, he is. So yeah. I was also curious, like, because you're a sports director. What are the duties of the job? Right.
Yeah, so a sports director in most places is in charge of all the content that appears, whether it's on, if you're a sports director for a radio station, then of course all the stuff that airs on the radio side. If you're a sports director on a television station or at a television station, you're in charge of all the content that airs sports-wise on that side, and also has to do with scheduling and basically planning out coverage. So in both places, I assign people that, that work for the station and the kind of coverage that we have, and then produce and direct the pieces that we do and the work that airs on our station.
Right. Okay. And you're in front of the camera a lot, right? So I was curious, like, if you had, like, any advice for people like myself who want to be in front of the camera one day, like, if you could give me advice. Maybe.
Oh, of course. Yeah. So, I mean, I think the best advice is to really just to try to get as many reps as possible. So for me, working at a place like BronxNet, even as a college student, first as an intern and then kind of working my way up slowly through the years, a lot of it had to do with really just getting opportunities to be on air.
and to basically take advantage of those opportunities to try to put together demo reels and to eventually have work that you could showcase. You know, and the beauty of your generation now is that you really don't need to even necessarily work at a TV station or even intern at a TV station as young as you are. You could end up, you know, doing things these days even younger than that and posting it on to things like Instagram or Twitter, right, or, you know, even having a YouTube page, you know, having some place where you can display some of your work. You know, a lot of the guys that are in my program, even students that I'm teaching at Fordham University in my sports broadcasting class, that's one of the first things I say to them. I mean, you have an advantage of being in a market where if you have some talent, you can showcase that talent as young as someone in high school, and you know, it could help you with your career. You can put together shows now, like you're doing with this podcast. That could be right. Stuff that you could air, you know, down the road, or showcase as part of a demo reel, that kind of thing. Professional work at a young age.
You know, like, I'm also a part of my school newspaper, and so doing this as well, the internship. You know, I'm just slowly building my resume up.
Oh, of course, and that's what it's all about. You know, listen, I mean, that's for me, that's, I started actually more as a sports writer. So my first venture into the world of sports was fresh out of school. I wrote for the Associated Press, and I feel I was pretty fortunate to get that job. You know, some of it was talent, some of it was persistence and perseverance, but a lot of it also was probably being in the right place at the right time. They were looking to hire somebody. They would typically hire 3 fresh out of college students every summer that would eventually work on the Major League Baseball beat. And I was one of them. I got hired as one of the 3. And I did baseball. I did WNBA basketball. And they, you know, I was a low man on the totem pole. They kind of had me working all different types of things. And from there is where my career, you know, took off. But, you know, originally, my game plan originally fresh out of school was I wanted to be a sports writer for life, eventually a sports editor. And then I wanted to have a Hall of Fame vote. That was really the thing that was probably my first dream, was to have a Hall of Fame vote. So I was actually on that track. I had worked for newspapers like the Daily News. I wrote for the Philadelphia Daily News. And eventually I had become a sports editor. But by the time I did that, we're talking about, you know, 2005, 2006 at that point. That was when the business started to take a turn, you know, and even for me and my, where I was working at the time, they would have, you know, a lot of layoffs and, you know, cuts to the budget and things like that. So all of a sudden my staff was kind of crippling around me. And eventually I just decided that I would go more into television and radio. And that was around the time that I ended up, you know, back at BronxNet and started to have more of a role, and then started to do different things in different mediums.
Do you feel like you have to like know all sports to like I don't know, like for being like a sports broadcaster or something like that? So because I'm mainly, what I know is basketball, so I don't know, I was just curious what do you think.
I don't think it can hurt if you're into a lot of different sports. You know, I always said that the most important thing that you can be in this business is curious, you know. So for me, I actually have taken advantage of being in the business to explore trying different sports and really investing in different things. So, you know, when I first started, yes, my first love was baseball. And then eventually I got a lot of work in the sport of basketball. But when the opportunities came up to basically get employed and work in different things that I didn't even really know about, but someone was going to give me an opportunity to do them, I never said no to them. You know, I never thought I would cover rugby. I never thought I would cover fencing. I never thought I would cover gymnastics, but you know, these were sports that along the way that, yeah, I covered them. You know, someone gave me an opportunity to go write about them or go talk about them. And, you know, the one good thing about this world is if you're really dedicated to what you want to do and what you love, anybody can really learn about anything, especially with the way the internet is, right? You can go online, you can research things, you can watch videos, you can ask people questions, you can kind of teach yourself different things. And then the more you are around a sport, the more used to it you get. So in the beginning, yeah, I mean, I covered a variety of sports. And then eventually I would say I probably fell in love with a multitude of sports. You know, I never thought I would be as big in a UFC as I am, but I really do. I love UFC. I watch, you know, I've been in a lot of fights, covered them for, you know, for BronxNet included. And it's been great to go and to see them live. You know, and then over the years, like I said, branching out, you know, first it started as a love affair for baseball and eventually covering the World Series. But along the way, I've covered the NBA Finals. I've covered multiple Super Bowls, and I've even covered the Stanley Cup Finals. But, you know, there were other sports that are not the four majors in this country that I think it's very cool to see live. You know, being at the Belmont Stakes for the horse racing was something very, you know, I've done that multiple times. I saw the Triple Crown a couple years back. You know, I've been to the Indianapolis 500 to see, you know, a major motor racing event. And that's an event that draws pretty much 300,000 people. It's the largest one-day event in the country for sports. Right. So, you know, when you think about the different sports, yeah, I mean, if you're curious, if you're interested in things, just, you know, exploring them is never a bad thing. You might actually find that as much as you love basketball, there might be some other sports that interest you just as much, if not more.
Yeah, I like football and baseball, but I'm trying to get more into them. So, like, because I want to just gain my knowledge that way.
There's nothing wrong with having a centralized focus on a sport. Like, if your passion is basketball and you want to pursue basketball, there's nothing wrong with that. You can pursue hoops and have that be, you know, what the direction that you go. But along the way, if someone says to you, hey, you know, have an opening here for you to cover some, you know, high school football, would you be interested? I think the goal is for you to get your foot in the door and work as many events as you can. And then eventually, you know, eventually work in the sport that you want to work in.
Right. So I was also wondering, like, what are the hardships of being like a reporter?
I mean, there's many hardships. I mean, I would say probably the hardest thing is it's not easy to get work when you don't have any experience. That's the first thing. You know, a place is not going to necessarily count your, let's say, academic experiences the way it would real life experience. In other words, you know, stuff that you're going to have post graduation, whether it's after the high school or after the college days. So the hardest part is probably to garner that kind of professional experience. That usually that comes at the cost of maybe interning, where you would volunteer your time and try to have something on your resume where someone's going to be a reference, recommend you to a place, and also just for you to gain experience in the work field. You know, so for me, you know, I was the sports editor of my college newspaper. I was the lead play-by-play guy for our radio and television station on campus, even though it was much smaller than, let's say, some of these other universities like Syracuse or Fordham even. You know, I ended up doing the public address announcing too for the college, which was kind of another thing that helped me in my, you know, my journey. So I, you know, coming out of college, I had a multiple things. I had some TV experience, I had some radio experience, I had some PA experience, and I had, you know, the sports writing, but all of it was on campus. My first internship was at a local television station called RNN. And then I also started interning at BronxNet. So by the time I, you know, hit the ground running at, let's say, 22, I had some professional experience, you know, and BronxNet gave me a lot of opportunities. I would definitely recommend to people to try to find some of these, you know, we'll say local or smaller television stations or radio stations where they might not just have you work behind the glass or behind the scenes. They might let you actually, you know, go and do something like, hey, go and report on this story, or we can get you credentials for, you know, for this college game. We'll send you to go do this college game, you know. So for you, it's going to be a matter of trying to get that first job. And then once you get that first job, building up your resume enough to eventually land yourself, you know, the next job. But usually that's done through experiences at this level, at the academic level. And then, like I said, usually for most, interning outside of college, and then eventually, like I said, getting your first job, you know. And then after that, as you know, as I'm sure a lot of people might have told you, it's, you know, it's not the most lucrative job on the lower levels. You know, these are professions that a lot of people want to have. So because of that, I feel like the employers take a little bit of advantage of, you know, young guys like yourself that want to cover things. So, you know, you might get access to things like sporting events that you would want to go to, but you may not get paid very much to go and do it, at least initially.
I mean, it's all how you start anyways, you know, and then you build up and get to that point where you feel like you.
Yeah, of course. But everyone's got to live too. You know, you're going to have, you know, once you venture out from home, you're going to have, you know, bills, you're going to have rent, you're going to have car bills, you're going to have, you know, whatever it is, you're going to have bills. And as much as, you know, you might love what you're doing, you also have to make a living out of it.
Right. No, you're right. And also, I mean, I just talked to like the associate head of sports here. And like he said, I could like maybe by like next semester, maybe like cover some sports games. So like, like broadcasting them. So that's
cool. The goal here.
Yeah. So hopefully that happens, you know, in with my school.
No, I mean, that's great. I mean, like I said, that'll be your first chance to kind of like get your feet wet with different things and try different things and basically explore what, you know, what it is you want to, you know, sports that you want to cover or thing, you know, whether it's play by play or analysis or, you know, it's really just about getting chances to do stuff.
Yeah. I'm focusing like on play by play. That's what I'm trying to head at here.
Mm-hmm. Play-by-play is tough. I mean, listen, I mean, even for me, like over the years, I've done Division One games. I've done a lot of stuff at the pro-am level for basketball. I work for this league. I've been doing it for 19 years now, believe it or not, called Hoops in the Sun. You know, so again, you know, I never would have gotten that opportunity if I wasn't doing public address announcing. I was doing games over Purchase. The athletic director at Lehman heard me. He said, "You sound great. Would love for you to come and do some of my games." And, you know, I ended up at Lehman doing some games. And then when Michael Maxnavi at Bronxnet heard me doing games, you know, he said, "Hey, we do some of these games televised, you know, for CUNY and for the CUNY network." And eventually I was doing play-by-play and color for some of those games years ago. So, you know, everything's, like I said, like a domino, you know, like a domino effect. You start in one place, and if you do a really good job in one place, sometimes other doors open for you in other places. And then it's just a question of whether or not, you know, you get yourself together and you go through those other doors and pursue those other endeavors. So that's pretty much what happened. You know, I started leapfrogging from one job to the next. And for you, it'll be the same thing. Like if you get a chance to do some of the games there, let's say at the college level, and you can turn, you know, you might be able to turn those performances into getting some work elsewhere.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping for, at least.
Yeah, no, of course.
I was also curious, like, how do you maintain your professionalism, like, while being in front of, like, athletes and other public figures?
Oh, well, I mean, listen, I mean, the whole career is based on your, basically on your profile to some degree. You know, listen, organizations credential people that they can trust. You know, it's no surprise that an organization like the NFL or the NBA or Major League Baseball, when they go to give you credentials for the Super Bowl, they do background checks on you. You know, so someone that has a criminal record might not be granted, let's say, credentials to go and depending on what it is, of course, you know, to go and cover something like a Super Bowl, because they're not going to allow someone that they feel is threatening to, let's say, someone like Tom Brady to be in the room with them. You know, so basically you are what your, you know, what your profile is to some degree, what your reputation is. So professionalism is very important. I think it's one of the things that, you know, ends up separating someone that goes over that great divide. Like right now, for the most part, you are transitioning into a career in sports broadcasting. You are still a fan. At some point, you're probably going to have to leave a lot of your fandom on this side of the fence and cross over into being part of what, you know, a lot of times they might call, you know, the fifth estate type of thing, you know, into the media. And, you know, and when you do that, you know, that means that you're going to be in the press box at certain games that of teams that you love, let's say the Knicks, and you can't, you know, you're not going to be in the press box in a Knicks jersey. You're not going to be cheering for them during the games. You know, you might have allegiance, you know, like when you're watching, you know, games, we all do, you know, because I don't know if there's such thing as complete objectivity. So down, you know, deep down inside, if the Knicks were, you know, in the finals, you could be rooting for them, but you know, that outward emotion or you high-fiving players when they come back into the locker room, you know, that stuff has to go out the window, you know, and you have to ask questions the way someone at home might want to ask, you know, things that they would be curious about that they can ask because they don't have access, but you've been granted that access because someone feels that you're professional enough to ask those questions. And that's really what it, you know, becomes. You know, I've joked because now over the years, because I've been doing this now for the better part of 20 years. And, you know, eventually when you go back to it as a fan, it's almost like, you know, it's almost like you've lost your way. You know, like I don't know if I could go to a Yankee game anymore and sit there in the stands and have the same emotion that I did when I was 15, 16, because, you know, I've sat for so many years in a press box, just quiet, watching the game. So a lot of my emotions, even if they're, you know, emotions I might have for a team that I love, they're internalized. You know, when the Yankees won the World Series in 2009, we were there for every game and I was very happy. I mean, how could I not be? I grew up a Yankee fan. And I love the Yankees, but, you know, I wasn't able to kind of run around and lose my mind. I just was, you know, internally happy, and then got a chance to live the dream of being in the locker room interviewing the players after they won the World Series, which, again, for someone that does media, I think all of us at some point when we were young, we aspired to be the athletes. You know, I didn't start out at 6, 7 years old and said, hey, I want to be a broadcaster. Started out at that age and you want to play the game. I played sports as long as my physical talent would allow me to. I played in high school and then into college. And, you know, eventually I wasn't good enough to play professional sports, which happens to a lot of people, even if they are pretty good at a sport. Playing at the pro level is really, really, really hard. But the opportunity to be in a professional setting where you can actually be the closest you could be to being part of those kind of organizations, whether you're working for a team, or whether you're a journalist and you're in the locker room when they win, it's pretty special. I mean, like I said, for me, I saw the Rangers play in the Stanley Cup. They didn't win, but, you know, I got to cover that Stanley Cup a few years back. You know, I've been to the World Series with the Yankees in it. I've seen the New York Giants win a Super Bowl. And, you know, unfortunately, haven't seen one of the New York teams win basketball, like win a championship. But I've been for Knicks playoff games and Nets playoff games. And I've been fortunate enough to see some really great NBA players win championships like LeBron and Kobe. And those are experiences I wouldn't trade for anything.
Of course, they're still amazing experiences at the end of the day.
Of course, yeah, 100%. And those are things, you know, for you that you would, you know, would aspire to, no doubt. You know, you start out in this business, you want to cover the best thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What do you hope to achieve by the end of your career when it's all said and done?
Oh, wow. You know, it's a great question. I think in this business, you never really know where your career is going to take you. You know, like I said to you before, you might start out with aspirations or hopes of doing one thing. Like for you, you're talking about play-by-play right now, and hopefully you will end up, you know, getting to pursue play-by-play, but you never know. You know, you might end up in the business and you might end up doing, you know, on-air hosting and being really good at it, and someone might give you a job and you might end up working, you know.
Yeah, as long as I do something with sports, that's really what I care about most, you know.
Okay. Yeah, no, but yeah. That's what the point is that, you know, like in this business, it's not a traditional business that someone might work, let's say, with another career. In other words, you know, you come up through college, you get your degree. A lot of jobs are 9 to 5. There's a certain method to getting to the top in a certain career path, right? You know, someone might say to you, hey, you start in this career path, you're going to have this job. And then after 3 years, if you do a really good job, someone's going to let you have this job. And then maybe after another year, you get promoted. You can work within a company. You're going to get X, Y, and Z raises. And by the 7th year in the company, you might be vice president of the company. You know, that type of thing. There's a more traditional path. In this career path, there's really nothing traditional about it at all. And that's because the career is very creative. And when it's a creative job, you know, you're going to have to kind of go where the work is sometimes and go with the flow and maybe migrate from one position to the next and, you know, see where your career goes. So for me, like I said, originally I might have wanted to be a baseball writer and have a Hall of Fame vote. But, you know, I've covered many Hall of Fame inductions. I don't have a Hall of Fame vote, but I feel pretty content in where my career has gone. I think over the years, and, you know, Manny might be able to explain this to you as well, especially as you get older, it's really been great to have had all of these personal experiences that have been for myself. But now that I'm kind of maybe getting a little older and transitioning to being a little bit more of a mentor for some people, it's been great to help others get those same experiences by giving back, whether it's giving some advice or pointing people in the direction of jobs or just even teaching them a craft, you know, teaching someone how to be better at broadcast or teaching someone how to write a sentence better or put together a better article. It's been very gratifying to kind of pay it forward. You know, there were a lot of people that helped me out in my journey and my career along the way that I never would be able to even be sitting here on the phone with you having a discussion about this hadn't there been people that mentored me. So, you know, I think by the time it's all said and done, it's pretty cool to have life experiences. I think it's really all about living your life. Like for you, you love basketball. If you're blessed enough to make that a life, a career, if you're blessed enough to have that be your job and you get up every day and you go there, no matter what team it is, no matter where it is, no matter what level it is, you know, I mean, I was a Division III sports information director for many years, and I had 17 sports that I dealt with at the college level, and I was in charge of all of them. It wasn't working in the NBA. It wasn't working in the major leagues, but it was a high profile job for that particular level, you know, and some of our teams won championships and went to the NCAAs. And, you know, those were great experiences, you know, and I, for me, I was living a dream because I was getting up every day and going to an office and I was involved with sports. Like, I just wanted to be around games. I wanted to be around sports, no matter if it was even lacrosse or soccer. I would rather do that than, let's say, you know, be in another career that I was just kind of going to the job every day just because I needed to make a check. You know what I mean? This was a career that I enjoyed going to the office. I enjoyed covering teams and writing about them and getting to interview athletes and still be around the games that I loved and some of them that I was just learning myself as my career.
Oh, that sounds great to me, man.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Bobby, for participating in this interview with me. I really appreciate it.
You did a great job. And, you know, like I said, anytime you have any questions or anything I can help you with, don't hesitate to reach out.
And for, like, more information for, like, my listeners, like, where could, like, maybe, like, students and, like, other people, like, maybe, like, follow you on social media or contact you best, something like that?
Yeah, so my emails are very much very similar. So they're bobbyc@wfuv.org, wfuv.org. Or bobbyc@bronxnet.org, bronxnet.org. And then my social media, and I never was as big into it, but I've tried to be over the last couple of years because it's such a big, important part of things. But they're both the same. They're The Voice Bobby C at Twitter and at Instagram. And, you know, hopefully people can tune in, watch some of the stuff on Bronxnet, whether it's locally here in New York City or on our website at bronxnet.org. And anytime anyone has any interest in checking out what we do on the radio side, you know, as the sports director of WFUV, that's 90.7 FM here in New York. So they can tune in. We have the longest running sports call-in show in New York. It's called One on One. It's actually a place where Mike Breen was on air as a young guy, and he got a start on One on One. And like I said, now he's the voice of the NBA. So that's Saturdays from 1 to 4 p.m. Eastern time here in New York on 90.7 FM.
All right. Well, thank you again. I really appreciate it. I'll keep
in
touch.
Oh, no problem. Anytime. Sounds great. Talk to you soon.
Thank
you.
Take care.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode. Please make sure you rate, comment, or subscribe, and share with a friend. And also, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Danny K Sports. That's DanyCaceSports. See you in the next one.